Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Craig Hill, I've known for many years. I've also known his father. He is a godly man that lives for God's kingdom. He has his own ministry, but he's also a businessman. For the last 20 years, having nothing to do with his ministry, he's had a six-figure income, and he's invested this shrewdly. He's come out with a book called 5 Wealth Secrets 96% of Us Don't Know. And then I'm so overwhelmed with your 8 CDs because they're how-to CDs. And the title is God's Power to Get Wealth. And trust me when I say this is different than any other teaching you've probably ever heard having to do with money. And he said to me, Sid, if we don't do this interview this year, next year will be too late for most people. Now, before we went on the air, we were discussing a scripture in Matthew 6. And it's a scripture that most people don't understand because a word is used in it they don't understand. And the word is mammon. What is that scripture? And explain to us, what is mammon?
Well, the scripture said, it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And for years, I thought mammon was just another word for money. But I began thinking
about, you know, in a lot of Bibles, they even say that in the notes.
It does. It says money or riches or something like that. But I thought, you know, logically, Jesus has set these two things up to be opposites. If you want to serve God, you should have nothing to do with mammon. And if you do have something to do with mammon, you're not serving God.
So if it's money, that eliminates most of us, if mammon is money.
It would mean that the correct course of action is to take a vow of poverty and have no money.
And by the way, a lot of people over the centuries have done that, the monks and others.
That's exactly the reason they did that, is they thought that mammon meant money, and they were godly people wanting to obey God. But I thought, it can't mean money. What is it? And I never knew until I ran into a man named Ron Smith, who was the founder of the Biblical School of Studies of Youth with a Mission, who did a study on the origin of that word and discovered that it was a Canaanite word that didn't mean money, didn't mean wealth, didn't mean greed. It wasn't an attitude. It was actually a god that was worshipped in Jesus' time by Canaanite people, just like Baal or Molech or Dagon. And what I discovered, Sid, is that there's a demonic spirit behind every one of those idolatrous gods. And that spirit, mammon, is designed to capture people's hearts, cause people to focus on money, and cause people to have completely wrong motives in their handling of money and cause them to mishandle money. So Jesus goes on and he talks about provision, because everybody needs provision. Everybody needs food, clothing, shelter. All of us need those things, and God knows that. So how are we to get that? And Jesus said in verse 25, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat, what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and a body not more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, or the sparrows, and this is Jesus' picture of provision. As to look at the birds of the air, they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more worth than they? And Sid, when I read that, I got a revelation, because all my life I thought provision came only by me sowing and reaping, and here what Jesus said is, no, there's a purpose for sowing and reaping, but it's not that you might be, the provision might be made for you. Jesus is saying provision comes to you because my Father loves you by grace, by his love, the same way as it comes to a little child. I mean, if you think, how much time does a 4-year-old spend worrying about whether he's going to have food, you know, in our country. I know there are other countries they
And if you want to get even lower than that, how much time does a sparrow sow and reap and worry? None.
And none, you know. So I've told people, have you ever seen a sparrow having an anxiety attack?
Well, the sparrows may be the only one following Jesus' advice. Worry for nothing.
The Christians do that. I think Jesus' point is this. If you can get a revelation in your heart, my Father loves me, and because he loves me, he will take care of me more than birds. Now I can enter into sowing and reaping for right motives. And what I found, Sid, is a lot of people, they try to enter into sowing and reaping, and they're disappointed and hurt because I've had people say, well, it doesn't work.
Well, the motive is, if you give money to a godly situation, you will get 100 times back. And so the motive, sometimes I say to myself, is the motive getting 100 times back, or is the motive expanding God's kingdom? What is the real motive?
Right. So what I realized, and what I found for myself and for most people, if I become secure in my heart in the fact that my Father loves me, not because I do anything, just because I'm his son and he loves me and he will make provision, now I can begin to sow seed with a right motive for the purpose of expanding the kingdom of God, expecting large multiplications to come, not just so that I can increase my financial statement, but money only it's like a tool, it is a tool, it's like a shovel. And what good is it to have a shovel if you don't have a purpose to dig something? So money is only a tool. What is the purpose for this? So if I have a kingdom purpose, now I can enter into sowing and reaping for the purpose of multiplying, and I could do it with the right motive. Whereas if I have never gotten a revelation of what I call sparrow faith, and we talk about that in the CD series at length so that people can really get an understanding of that, because I found it's not just a matter of going, oh, yeah, I know my Father loves me, but it really is a revelation that needs to come to the heart. And if you don't have that, virtually everything you do is tainted because you're trying to manipulate God to get you money. And really, a lot of people, I think what the spirit of mammon does is puts people in fear that they're not going to have enough. And then what happens is mammon becomes their master through fear, and God becomes their servant to get them money. And that's an inverted relationship.
It's almost like a slave-master relationship, and people are putting themselves in it and not even realizing it.
That's exactly right. And what I realized is God is meant to be my master. He directs me. Money is meant to be my servant. I direct it and command it what to do to serve the kingdom of God. I'm not looking to money and I'm not looking to the spirit of mammon so that I can be okay and then making God my servant to get me money. Instead, I want that to be reversed where I'm seeking God, what is your purpose for my life? What is the vision you have for me? What is the purpose that you want me to pursue? And then my goal is to be here to serve you, not to get you to serve me.
And you know what I find most people do? I've got to make money, do anything that's possible to provide for my family, to get financially independent, so then I can do ministry. There's something wrong with that picture. I hate my job. There's something wrong with that picture.
Right, because what God spoke to me, Sid, many years ago, is that I wasn't to work for money. I was to make money work for me, and that work was to be according to a vision, according to a calling, what God had called me to do, not just something to make money, but that I could do something productive in the economy because God had called me to it, because I was gifted to work in that area.
You know, something that really struck me as I've listened to your tapes and read your book and just digested the material is the word calling. What did it originally mean?
Well, it's interesting. Calling is as the name would imply, something that comes from outside of yourself, that comes from God, something you're called to do.
And a lot of people think calling means to be a pastor or an evangelist or a teacher. It could mean that, but it could also mean a zillion other things.
Well, in reality, it would be for everybody. Every one of us has a calling. So there are people who are called to be architects, and people who are called to be truck drivers, and people who are called to be homemakers. Every one of us has a calling from God. And it's interesting, we have, 100 years ago, I found that most parents prepared their children to fulfill a calling. Today, parents only prepare their children to have an occupation. And those are very different words. And occupation is something that occupies your time until you die. And I don't believe we're just called to occupy our time. We're called to fulfill a vision. Every one of us has a calling that we need to discover. And when we work in that calling, then I've found provision naturally follows vision. But if you don't have a vision, I mean, if you look at the word provision, it's two parts, pro, which means for, and vision. So provision is that which comes for the vision. But if you have no vision, the Bible says you will perish, for without a vision, people perish. But if you have a vision and you're pursuing the vision, then provision comes to fulfill that. And that's when we enter into sowing and reaping and giving for the purpose of fulfilling the vision that God has given to us. And a supernatural multiplication then comes back. And I've seen that happen, Sid, in many, many people's lives. And we talk about that in the CD series, many examples of people that when they understood their calling and their vision and began to sow seed for the purpose of multiplication to fulfill a calling and vision, they saw many, many fold multiplication come into their life. And so there's a principle there of pursuing vision, not pursuing provision.
I have got to get these 8 CDs, which are how-to CDs. How to have God's power to get wealth. And the book, 5 Wealth Secrets, 96% of us don't know. And if there's ever been a time to understand these biblical supernatural secrets, that it's almost like a lot of Jewish people, it's been passed on, which originally came from the Bible, and that's why a lot of Jewish people prosper. But it's time for this great wealth transfer to occur, and most people aren't even positioned for it. I want to get this entire package into your hands for a gift of $45. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.